Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Johan.
And I almost said, I'm Jonathan. That's what's funny. As I read it.
Guys, we made it. We're at minute 45.
Yay!
You guys have made it an entire week. You still got Matthew and Johan from the Roughneck Minute.
Yep, I still got my part of the knock list, and Johan has the other side.
Yeah, and I'm starting to smell like that mask.
Like nasty mask.
You guys have been real troopers.
Yeah.
All right, we're done. Turn off.
See you guys next week.
Funny is, you coming back next week?
Nah, I'll be listening to you guys next week.
Okay.
That worked.
This minute begins with Ethan nose to nose with Max and ends with Max saying, "I don't know Job." Vanessa Redgrave acting her pants off in this. She is in Ethan's face. She's pretty much talking about the fact that she's not going to give him the money. He's still being very cocky about the fact that he wants $150,000. And he now is starting to let slip that the knock list that she has stolen is somehow tainted and that it's useless to her and that he can get her the real knock list and he wants Job.
Well, I think this scene is a little bit significant because it's one of the things I really remember about the movie showing up on HBO is they were showcasing the fact that they were showing this movie in letterbox instead of full screen. And this scene kind of depicts that. There's a couple more later on, but how close she is into the face and the guy in the background, you can kind of cut off the sides of where they would frame it for the full screen when the TVs used to be squarish instead of the widescreen now. But this is one of those, like, you can see the how, like, kind of that wide shot. This is how they showed on HBO versus what people bought on the VHS.
Brian De Palma does such a great job filming. We talked about this early on about, we haven't talked about De Palma's filming techniques, but he fills the screen so well.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie, even though it's just a, you know, it's just a pulpy action movie, he still composes some amazing looking shots and everybody's still lit so well. And this shot is, it's striking.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine watching it non 235. I mean, to me, I saw it on, it was on TV the other day and it wasn't letterboxed properly. And I was like, nope, I just changed it. I mean, when it came out, I bought the Laserdisc and had the Laserdisc up until a couple of years ago when the HD versions came out and the DVDs and then now the Blu-rays, you know? So, I mean, I think I've bought this movie probably 4 or 5 times over the years, but I never bought a VHS, which is kind of funny.
I might have to buy it in 4K. I just got myself a 4K TV.
Oh, nice. So that's what I'm getting this week, too.
That's the next thing. I got mine for Black Friday.
Ah.
That's the next thing I'm going to... I mean, not Black Friday, because we're doing this in January, February, March.
For Easter Sunday. March. You got it Easter Sunday or St. Patrick's Day?
I got my Easter Sunday.
Yeah, I recently picked up a 4K TV as well, too, from Best Buy. They had it for $330, actually.
Nice.
Oh, it's great. It's huge. And, you know...
Is it the Samsung?
It's LG, actually.
Which LG did you get?
It's the 6300.
No, gotcha. Series. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little entry-level thing, but, I mean, we just had a 32-inch HD TV beforehand, so this is a major step up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. We watched Pacific Rim the other night.
Nice.
My son and I were like, wow.
Yeah.
I was like, you can actually see, like, the sweater in the sweater. You can actually see, like, all the fuzz. It was so much fun.
It's like watching a movie in 70 millimeter.
Yeah.
I turned on a few YouTube videos of like native 4K of like some dude walking in Japan, and my son literally tried to jump through, not jump through, but he tried to reach through the screen because it looks so real, man.
Yeah. The Tick is actually shot in 4K.
Oh, is it?
Oh, wow. Nice.
Really?
And Amazon Prime and my new smart TV allows, I've been able to watch Amazon Prime, but only on like an iPad and then, you know, screen share it to another screen, but now I can watch it directly on there. It looks so good. Costumes are top notch.
So in the next Mission Impossible minute, or I'm sorry, Mission Impossible movie, do you think that their watches are going to have 4K then?
They don't actually, it's funny, they don't actually wear watches at this point. If you notice, the tech is always emergent. So in 96, a watch on your hand that showed a video, it was something everybody's like, whoa, that's crazy. Now
it's commonplace.
Cell phones exist, they've come up with other things like like things in their eyes, like those contacts that actually have screens on them that give them all the biometrics of other people that they're scanning, kind of like Terminator style scanning. So it's funny how the tech sours so quickly in these movies.
Yeah.
And also the difference between a 96 movie and the Mission Impossible 2, the tech level just skyrockets.
Yeah. I mean, it was the difference of, I think, 4 years, and it made a big, big difference. And then between that one and 3, which was in 2006, you know, that's 6 years. So, I mean, it's a pretty big, I mean, they're pretty big leaps in time. Now that we're kind of getting one every 2-3 years, it's much different.
Was 3 the one where he was driving around and then was in that hot or in that tub with that lady?
Yes.
Okay. If they were clothed and they were trying to, like, set off the alarm or something like that?
Well, they weren't trying to. They were trying to steal something out of the safe.
Okay, so it seems to me that I've been just watching these movies in bits and pieces, but not finishing them.
No, that was 2. 2 was the one where they're in the tub trying to steal the...
Right, 2's where they're in the tub with Tandy
Newton, yeah.
Never mind.
3's the one where... 3's the one with...
Kerry Russell.
Kerry Russell and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes.
I've never seen any of the movies after that.
Oh, you should see 3. 3's pretty solid.
And 4 and 5 are really good, too.
Yep.
5's the one I can watch over and over again.
I think you guys are selling me. I mean, definitely, especially after watching this first, you know, quarter of the, or this first half of the movie, up until our minutes, I really enjoyed this movie so far. So I think I'm going to be, you know, really into this series now.
Well, like, to me, number 5 is like the North by Northwest of Mission Impossible movies.
Oh, okay.
It's like everything from all of the movies kind of bangs up into one. And I've heard the new one is the same way, too, though. So it'll be interesting.
Well, yeah, I'll just have to drag my wife to him, then.
I think Ghost Protocol is my favorite of all of them. And it's because this first one's a standalone movie. I think it was never meant to be a franchise. It was a tentpole movie. They were trying to redo a 60s show. But once and second one was not well received. By the time they got to the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, they're so solid. It's kind of, I give it, it's the Fast and Furious factor. They actually get better. At a certain point, they hit critical mass and they just become good movies and fun action movies. Are they deep? No. Are they fun? Yeah. Yes. Is there amazing tech? Yes. And adding all the actors they add in the later movies doesn't hurt. And making it more of an ensemble movie. Because this is still the Ethan Hunt show right now.
Yeah.
And the second one's the Ethan Hunt show.
I know that they're bringing back a lot of the cast from all of the movies in this next one. So that should be really interesting to see who they bring back and why. And then adding Superman to it will help.
And adding Superman's mustache.
Yep.
We get the power of Superman's mustache. I'm excited.
I am too.
Well, back to this movie from 1996, not the movie that's coming out in 2018. He is in total Maverick mode at this point. He is super cocky, and he has a move at second 28 where she's behind him, and Ethan looks to his left as if he's checking out the mirrors. I mean, not mirrors, the windows.
Yeah.
To see if there's a way for him to get out.
And he looks up right afterwards, like if there's something up there as well.
Yeah, it seems like this is the point where he's checking out the room, making sure it's as he felt it with his echolocation or something. Yeah, he's like, oh, yep, that's it. Ooh, that's it, yep.
Later movies, we know that he's an accomplished, you know, physical hand-to-hand combat artist, so... I'm sure in this movie, if you go with headcanon, he already has learned all this stuff, so he'd be able to break that chair, jab Mathis in the neck, and then, I don't know, do something to Frankenstein's monster.
start singing, put on the Ritz with him.
Yep. Knock him out, maybe.
See, I don't think he's looking up. I think he's just kind of tilting his head back to listen to her.
Yeah, I don't know if he's looking up. It seems like he's kind of like... All right, I'll listen to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe he just couldn't keep his eyes off of her after she's been staring at him for a good 10 seconds, and he just wanted to get another glance.
Also, I think he was getting himself ready for her to touch his ear.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
I happen to know that this is Johan's favorite part of the movie. off air, Johan explained a childhood trauma where his ears were touched.
It's not a trauma per se, but it's not even my biggest pet peeve, but it's definitely a pet peeve is people touching my earlobes without my permission.
I have a face one, and that's with my children. Like if my kids come up and touch my face, I'm like, you stop. And they're like, why? I'm like, I don't like my face being touched. They're like, why? I'm like, I don't know.
You would hate my son then, because the first thing he does in the morning, pretty much, he comes up, gives me a kiss, and then starts throwing his hands down my throat. Oh, no. he's about to turn two pretty soon, but he just absolutely loves, you know, touching my face, throwing his face in my face, rubbing it,
two,
you know,
I can
biting.
Two gets a pass.
Okay.
Yeah, and see, if Johan walked up to me and started rubbing my face, I'd probably be, all right, Johan, you get a pass, too. Yeah.
but then you'd want to touch my earlobe, so I'm going to pass on that. Like, oh, yeah. All right.
I'm going deep in those things.
It's just since I was a kid, because I have big earlobes, my aunt and uncle used to always touch it in like an endearing sort of way, but I hated it so much. And like kids touching my face, never a problem. When they touch my ears, I'm like, all right, but you're a little kid, that's fine. So, and now that I have them pierced and they're gauged, like I hate it when some people sneak up and they try and put their finger in the gauge. Like, oh my God, that pisses me off so much.
I thought that's what those are for.
No, that's not what they're for at all.
But you're now showing me a hole in an ear, and I'm like, I gotta get in there.
Yeah, they gotta get a hole. You gotta fill it, man.
Ugh, gross. Well,
I can tell that Johan is not into umox at all.
What?
No one gets that. I'm sorry. That's a Star Trek reference.
I'm not deep into Star Trek.
Umox. Okay.
Yeah, umox. Sorry, the Ferengi. Yeah.
I thought you were doing maybe that other guy who was on there. I want to talk like this. And he had like long ears. He was in Star Trek. Give me a second. 3? Search for Spock. He's the one that Bones comes up to. I just saw it recently. And I was I'm like, well, this dude's ears are crazy. I want to stick my fingers in them.
No. I'm talking about the Ferengi.
Okay.
All right. How do you spell umox? Because I tried spelling it and I'm getting a photo of Grace Jones, Slave to the Rhythm on YouTube.
No. Okay.
And she's wearing this really weird headdress. So I think that's exactly what he's talking about.
Look up umox for profit and pleasure, Johan.
Yeah, but how do you spell umox? Because I definitely spelled it wrong.
Jeez, give me a second. I can look that
is
up.
Is it UHMOX?
I think it's just OOHMOX.
Umox.
Umox.
Because the one I came up with Grace Jones, Slave to the Rhythm, it...
Ah, here it is. It's O-O-M-O-X.
Yeah, whatever they're doing now, I'm not about that.
Okay.
Nope, that's a big nope for me.
Just remember to send photos of...
ear touching.
People touching other people's ears to Roughneck Men.
Well, that's just going to get to me because I'm usually the one who looks at all that. Send that to Johan at johan.gmail.com. Ear toucher. Yeah.
No, it's Johan.
Yeah, we're going to
Job it's space Job 3 colon 14.
Book of Job.com.
Yeah, we're going to go with the SMTP that's shown in this movie. So Johan at Book of Job, and that's it.
Johan up. He's always lurking around on the Book of Job.
Yeah, put the spaces in there like it's supposed to be. But yeah, so this photo that I got of Grace Jones, Slave to the Rhythm, definitely not what I'm thinking of when you're talking about it. I encourage people to look this up. This is really weird. All right, I'm done with that search. Done with that Google search.
This is the first time Ethan's had to say that he's been disavowed, and it does not come out of his mouth like he likes that.
No.
He says, like, I've been disavowed. Kind of like you say, I've got herpes. He's definitely unhappy saying this to someone.
I mean, it never goes away on your record. It's just like herpes. It just doesn't go away. You always have
it's
that
like your
on
permanent
record.
Yeah.
Well, you were disavowed in 96. I mean, I don't know.
I think you're thinking more of chlamydia than herpes. Okay. At least herpes has a flare-up, whereas being disavowed doesn't.
What are you talking about? They get disavowed in every movie.
Like, it's
they
not
flare up every movie.
No, I'm just saying, like, during the winter months, it's not like you have a disavowed flare up like you would with herpes. This is like chlamydia. You can kind of hide it.
Well, she seemed clean. I mean, I didn't think I was going to get disavowed.
Oh, my God. Guys, practice safe spying, please.
But I'm still also trying to figure out why she touches the earlobe.
Oh, she's being flirty, man.
And she's being way flirty. It's a power play. It's a power play, too. She has all the cards right now.
But what kind of power play is that?
Showing that she can get that close to him?
If it's you, she has you. If it was Johan in that chair, you'd be freaking out telling her every secret you could. Oh, God. Like, oh my God, no, please don't touch my ears anymore.
I have all the knocks. I can get it to you, no problem.
Protect my ears. Put the mask on.
Put dirty mask back on. Please, please, please.
Please, I need dirty mask. I miss the smell.
I'm just saying it's not a real power move to touch an earlobe.
Yeah, but you're biased and you don't like being touched on your earlobe. I mean, someone who does may think it is.
But it's also like the worst earlobes to touch because it's so tapered. He doesn't have earlobes.
True.
Like she's almost touching cartilage.
Yeah, that's very true.
Look, so it's not like all of us have gauged ears, so some of us have tiny earlobes. The small lobed need not be disparaged on this podcast.
Maybe she was trying to go for like the small of his neck and accidentally touched his earlobe.
Oh, it's gone too far. Oh, no.
It's like, we're filming. I can't stop this. We're filming.
I wish that she had grabbed his right ear and Mathis had grabbed his left.
it's going there.
and just have him look at the camera like, what is happening?
He starts getting that like worried look on his face. It's like and then like Frankenstein's monster just starts taking off his shirt, showing off all his scars.
from off camera you see right on camera you see Max grabbing his right ear. From off camera Mathis is grabbing his left, and then this just hand comes out of nowhere. Yeah. Like it's like rubbing his Adam's apple. He's like, that's not a thing, Frankenstein's monster. No.
Make you feel good.
Body massage, good.
Touching throat lobe.
It's like the earlobe of your neck.
Max still seems really amused by him. He's just told her that the Noctilus is tainted. He's just told her that it's part of a internal mole hunt by the CIA. Why does she not believe him? I think is the best question to ask. Why does she think this person she's never met would lie about the Noctilus being tainted? He knows they'll test it, so does it play for the movie? It plays for the movie for her to have to boot it up in front of him.
I think it plays in the sense that he's trying to gain her confidence so he can get to Job. And by telling her that it's not real and making her test it, then I think that it ends up, you know, making her go, okay, I can trust you, because...
Well, I understand his intention, but why does she not believe him until she tests it? Why does she need to test it?
Because she doesn't know who he is.
I would be super wary if someone I didn't know walked up to me and said, that sandwich is poison. I'd probably just take his word for it.
I don't know, man. If it's a turkey breast, I got to have that turkey breast.
It depends on where it's from, too.
Yeah, exactly.
What if it had blood all over it?
I wouldn't. That's a whole different. That's like apples and oranges, man. That's different. That's different.
Right now, the Noctilus has blood all over it.
Yeah, but true. If it was a meatball sub, like you wouldn't be able to tell if it had blood on it.
Oh, yeah. You know who likes meatball subs?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Who likes meatball subs?
Joe Pesci.
Oh, no. Hey, Joe Pesci. It's not really Joe Pesci. I don't know who that is.
That was a pretty good Joe Pesci.
I'm going to go kick bad, some Michael Jackson in the stomach real quick.
Why don't you fill up the glass? I'm a big guy.
Yeah, you didn't know that Joe Pesci kicked Michael Jackson in the stomach?
Was that in the Moonwalker movie?
Yes, it was.
It was in the Moonwalker
movie. Really?
Yes, it was. Yeah, Joe Pesci is a bad guy in Moonwalker, and he is trying to sell his bugs and drugs.
Oh. I haven't ever seen Moonwalker, guys.
Yeah, I've only seen it once.
Johan, I got an idea. Moonwalker Minute.
No, let's do Captain EO minute. That's
there we go.
Minutes.
That's a good one. Actually, be really. But that'll be a week. I've tried. Is there a way to view it?
Yeah, on YouTube.
Sure, YouTube. Yeah.
Do they have a good copy on?
Yeah,
YouTube,
they do.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Okay. I remember trying to find a bootleg.
You can see Doug Benson.
Yeah,
Doug Benson. Doug Loves dancing. Movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard about that. Sorry.
Quote unquote.
Yeah. Yeah, because every time I used to go to Comic-Con like 10 years ago, we would try and find a DVD of Captain EO. We could never come up with anything. Like,
it's
no
now
one
been
had
out
it.
Again, and I know someone in the modern time has definitely taped it, because remember, it came back to Disney World probably five
after
years
his death.
Ago.
Yeah.
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 So I'm sure someone taped it, and I know there's good versions of it.
I saw a version on YouTube that was like straight from the film negative, not negative, but like a film print, which was impressive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then that's worth doing.
Let's do it.
I think a lot of Max not believing Ethan right now is because he's asked her for money twice in like 3 minutes since she's met him. He's asked her for $150,000 twice. That's a weird move.
That is a weird move.
And also, he just like put all his cards on the table as well too. He, you know, he's pretty much told her everything that he knows.
But he's also insisted on showing his face and seeing theirs, which would make, like, if you're wrong, you're going
to
die.
Well, again, he has nothing right. else to lose besides, you know, his information about the knock list and his face. So he's just giving it up. And she still doesn't believe him. It's weird. I don't know.
Well, hopefully something at some point will make her a believer. Won't be in this minute.
Yeah.
No. You mean, well, hopefully that she saw his face now. Hopefully he'll be a believer.
Well, she's also a lobe reader. So when she touched his earlobe, she felt his essence. She scannered him and now knows his entire life.
Max mind meld.
I love all the they're at second 44 at second 50. We got a lot of Dutch angles. We get to see Mathis, and we get to see Frankenstein's monster standing behind her. It's a beautiful room they're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love these angles. I love
Let's go back
ceiling.
Again. Is this a set? This doesn't feel like
no,
a set.
This is not a set. There's no way this is a set. It's way too ornate to be a set.
Yeah, there's paintings on like the ceiling and everything. It's like vaulted, like arch ceilings as well too. So it's all painted on. I mean, there's like a chalice on the wall.
They're not doing any dolly shots or anything. They're doing real lockdown cut, which leads me to believe.
Yeah, you notice there's only Max's table and that chair. So
yeah.
That room is completely empty.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically like they told them you can do these things here, but no dollies or nothing fancy to hurt the floor or anything like that, probably.
Also, keep it down during the daytime because, you know, the neighbors are going to start banging on the ceiling.
Yeah, it's lit really well. Yeah. You know that you shot all this stuff at night, but they did. They shot day for night. I mean, not day for night, but they actually, you know, put lights outside that made it look.
And good. there is an open window out there that goes outside, so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it could be like a conference room at an embassy suites or something like that in Prague.
it's a really nice embassy suites.
It's a conference room at the Prague embassy suites.
The lull in the conversation can mean only one thing.
Tech of the week?
Yep. Welcome, guys, to the most special of Tech of the Apps. It's Tech of the Week. You can pick something from this minute, or you can go back to any of the minutes that you've been here for and choose what tech you think will be tech of the week. And I will choose as judge, jury, and executioner. So let's get started with Chris.
The mask.
Has the mask won out over every other piece of tech this week?
It's a close call between that and the electronic notification as well too.
For me, it's electronic M. Stop trying to make that a thing. It's not a thing. No one's going to say
EM.
It.
EM.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the EM. The notification for the EM and the mask.
The electronic letter is what you mean. The electronic letter?
I'm trying to coin a phrase. Jeez, man.
It's terrible. No one's ever going to use it.
My debate's only between the mask and the lamp, and mask is winning it over.
Now, that's a debate I can have.
I'm trying to think about when I go to sleep tonight, what's going to haunt my dreams, and it won't be that lamp.
Yeah,
it's going to be that mask.
Yeah. You're going to smell something funky, and you're like, oh, God, that's probably what the mask smells like. And it's never going to leave you.
I now know what my cosplay is going to be for next year's C2E2.
Ooh.
I'm just going to put this on. Who are you? I'm Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible. You'd be like, what?
Pull off a mask.
Number one or five, both.
Pull off a mask. It's awesome. Just do it.
You know somebody will get it, though. With you just walking around like that, they'll figure it out. Either that or they'll think you're from, what's it called, Nightbreed.
Only if Johan or Matthew were there. No one else is going to get this.
And I'll also be like, are you budget scarecrow? I mean, good job, man. But
budget scarecrow. Your buttons fell off.
Yeah. I mean, he had like twine. I mean, you could just get a burlap sack. You actually had to pay money for that, man.
Yeah, I'm just going to make sure in public when I see you, I'm not even going to reference the Mission Impossible. You'll be the only one with the mask.
Matthew, are you also going with mask?
I'm going to go with mask. The EM kind of lost on that. I got to go for the mask.
All right. Well, then it's unanimous. Super easy for me. It's Nasty Mask. Nasty Mask is the tech of the week.
Woo-hoo, congratulations, Nasty Mask.
Yeah. Nasty Mask.
We'll have to add you to the wall of fame on the Facebook group.
Yeah.
That's now something I have to create.
Let's try and create a profile for IMDb.
Nasty Mask.
Nasty Mask. He's in the same movies as Frankenstein's Monster.
Start an internet movie mask database. And this should be at the forefront of that. All the masks in every movie.
Internet mask database. No,
that's IMDb mask. Already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, instead of .com, you could just do it .mask.
.job.
.job, yeah.
.nastymask.
.nastymask.
Well, as we wrap up this week, we always like to talk about where we saw this movie for the first time. Johan, you had mentioned originally that you had seen it on HBO.
Yeah. This is HBO is when I first saw it.
It's one of those movies that was probably on at 8 in the morning and then 8 at night. That was kind of how HBO used to roll.
Yeah. No, actually, I think at the time they used to run it every other movie, kind of like when they did Matrix. Like, so it was like Mission Impossible, one movie, and then the scenes like, oh, this is what we did. It's now full screen. And then Mission Impossible again. Because I think this is when they started having HBO East and West. So it... Like, sometimes the East programming, they had a whole bunch, but then West, we had a ton of Mission Impossible for some reason.
What about you, Matthew? When was the first time you saw this movie that you remember?
Right before the only time I really remember seeing this movie is, again, on HBO as well, too.
Because I know you haven't seen it all the way through. Is there, like, do you remember when it came out in 96? Like, were you aware that like, this was a thing?
I remember it was a thing because I remember seeing trailers for it, but it never piqued my interest. The only time I remember actually seeing it on HBO was at the very, very end of the movie with the helicopter and the tunnel and everything like that. But that was it. And then the first time seeing, you know, the very beginning of this movie was earlier this week.
Well, that's always a fresh way to see it. It's awesome. Two very different perspectives.
I love it. Yeah, it's great.
We definitely want you guys to talk more about your podcast. So here's some time for you to let us know what you guys are working on and what we should be doing and what we should be listening to.
Yeah, sure. We're actually from the Roughneck Minute. We do movies by minute. Star Trek Troopers minute by minute, just like pretty much everyone else who is doing the movies by minute format. We're currently, as of this recording, on minute 52, I believe. Right, Johan?
Yeah, we just finished that one.
Yeah, minute 52.
And by the time this comes out, you'll be at minute 87.
I have no clue.
Yeah.
I haven't calculated that much, honestly. We were just two guys who, you know, were fans of Crystal Beth and John Robert and they were doing their fifth element. And we talk about, you know, Starship Troopers and all these other movies at the same time, all the time. And we just decided, hey, you know what? Let's just record us talking about this. This would be a great idea. So we basically stole the idea from Crystal Beth, John Robert, and made it our own, but with their blessing, of course.
Yeah, and Matt's also read the book. He cites the book, comparing it to the movie continuously, which I think adds a little bit more depth when we're talking about the movie. And then we also compare it to the original script that was written, which has so many gaps that were not placed in a movie. So we definitely dive in a little bit on our podcast with that.
And I understand that because I'm reading the book and it's terrible, but it's also based almost entirely on the shooting script. So, but it definitely has details. Those details from the book. I've listened to your podcast. I listen to your podcast. I'm a listener, and cool. I enjoy those because I've seen this Paul Verhoeven movie a million times, and I didn't know there was a book. I mean, I knew there was a book, but I didn't know the book was so different from the movie. I remember vaguely seeing some Paul Verhoeven. His commentary on this movie is one of my favorite things ever. Paul Verhoeven, anytime he does commentary on this or Total Recall, is fantastic. But
definitely.
Starship Troopers especially, because he really goes into, you know, the proto-fascism and all that stuff that he talks about just makes me giggle, because he was so into this movie and he completely changed the story. So getting your perspective from the book is a great new dimension.
Yeah. And it's not like he read the whole entire book and everything and then decided to make another story about it. He just got depressed about it and just wanted to make
it. He read
a
like the first two chapters or something.
Yeah.
That's the way to make a movie.
Definitely.
Especially about
Can you imagine
book?
Someone reading a Titanic book and they just be like, let's make the movie. Let's do it. I don't care how it ends.
So where are we going to fly the plane? What? Did you even know anything about the Titanic?
Titanic 2 in space. one thing I actually would recommend, if you have seen Starship Troopers, definitely check out the anime, actually. It's a little OVA that came out in the 80s, and it kind of goes with the book a lot more than anything else, but it's really awesome. It has like actual mech suits and everything, and it's really short. I think only about 6 episodes.
I'm yawning. What's the name of it? What's the actual name of the series?
It's just Starship Troopers. It's by Sunrise.
Really?
Yeah,
awesome.
So I mean,
I haven't seen that. I would love to.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's short, 30-minute episodes, 6 episodes, and it's all on YouTube too.
Is it kind of in the vein of what the Clone Wars was originally, when it was just like that real stylized cartoon? It was just kind of like a much shorter, like little chunk, but more true to the book. Is that what it is?
It's more true to the book, but there was also, I mean, it's also Sunrise Bandai, so they were trying to sell toys.
Oh man, yeah. I would love a Starship Trooper toy.
We actually did some research on that and found one of the models that was kind of stylized from that anime.
It's $90, made out of resin, but I am looking to get one as soon as possible.
Don't tell your wife.
She doesn't know. What she doesn't know, don't hurt her. What'd you get the new resin model, man? Oh, don't worry about it, honey. It looks good, doesn't it?
No, I made it.
Yeah. Which one? That one's been there.
Yeah, I have like, so that's the thing too. I build like classic Gundam models all the time, so another robot suit is not going to like, you know, make her turn her head at all.
Yeah, I did in one of the moving boxes, and then when you unbox it, just pull it out the box like of pre-existing items.
Okay, honey. Oh yeah, and you guys can find us at The Roughneck Men on Twitter, or you can go to our website to see any past episodes or show notes at theroughneckminute.podbean.com. Yeah, you can find Johan at OMG. It's Johan, right, Johan?
Yeah, that's my Twitter. My Instagram and Twitch is J-D26.
And you guys can find me at AltTabMatt pretty much anywhere online. As I've been saying in the show, you could probably find me on LinkedIn at AltTabMatt as well, too.
Yeah, that's what LinkedIn's for.
Yeah.
Talking about Starship Troopers. That's great, guys. We really appreciate you guys coming on this week, and we love you. I love your show, and I'm a big fan of it, and can't wait to have you guys on again for more minutes, hopefully at some point down the road. And you can always talk to us and talk about any of our episodes at our Facebook group at the Impossible Minute Force, and we're also on Twitter at Min Impossible, MIN Impossible. We also have an Instagram feed at Minute Impossible, and we have a website that we never talk about. It's MinuteImpossible.com. It is our feed that has all of our, it's basically a website that has all of our episodes on it. So you can go download it there or onto any podcatcher that you like. Thanks again, guys. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on.
Definitely. Thanks for having us on. We definitely want to come back.
Awesome. Well, great, guys. You can come back anytime. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Matthew.
And I've been Johan. And this What is it, a line?
Line.
What is line?
What is line?
What is this line? Minute will self-destruct.
This minute will self-destruct in 5 seconds.